Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records. Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
The difficulties that all of us are going through now are not things that we need to have to emphasize and reiterate. It's obvious. And the source of it is also something that all of us know. It's having differing impacts on the different economies and countries. But the root causes of it are well known. And they are matters that we have to also resolve together. I believe that at the end of the day, it is this cooperation across borders in our regions that will give us the strongest base in which to deal with the problems that have emerged in these last 2 years.
So, as you know by now, the president has summoned his economic management team, and they are supposed to be in a crunch meeting to deliberate on what to do to steer the economy away from what it is currently suffering and to try to cushion you a bit. So, are the times said to be hard? Are they exaggerated or they are facts? Can government actually afford to cushion Ghanaians? People have had their views. We have, for example, Professor Ransford Jampo, who is saying they should take a 30% cut in pay. How much of that will that even do a dent in our circumstance? He says, for example, that there should be a reduction in the size of government that aligns with the IEA's position. The IEA gives a specific number that the president should cut down on his bloated government. You know, he gave us a historic bloated government. Never before we've had in this country. He gave us in excess of 100 ministers and justified it, but managed to reduce it a bit. But now, what is he going to do? How much of that will lead to how much of savings for the country? Alex Mould, former boss of the GNPC, also says that government could look at, there is $550 million windfall from crude oil sales that we can rely on to cushion the people. Professor Stephen Adair suggests that there should be a 25% pay cut for the executive to prevent things from getting worse. How much of that will prevent things from getting worse? He also says that the government could use the funds in the SHS, some of the senior high school, the free SHS, could use some of the funds to be spent on the top schools excluded from the policy to develop the community secondary schools in the country. He says, we have to look at it again. I think that there are certain schools which we should make autonomous and fee-paying, and people will go there, but then make sure there are good community schools for everybody else. According to him, only a few of the majority of poor students usually get admission to Category A secondary schools, including Achimota. Thus, the need to make the rich students who attend such schools pay fees. Right. Achimotans are in trouble. Right. Okay, so as I announced you earlier, my guest for this segment is still here with us, Robert Nia Declerck. He's lawyer and author. John Ewua is Chief Executive Officer, Ghana Association of Banks. And Dr. Prisla Chumisibafo is Senior Lecturer, Department of Economics, University of Ghana. Mildred Aziz is a businesswoman. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Right. Great. So let's begin with Prisla. You are able to look at the economy from a certain perspective, and we've had the rare privilege of having you proffer solutions to the circumstances from the start of the year, even before we entered this year. How do you see our circumstances? And what should the president and his ministers be discussing at Pediasi?
Thanks once again, Samson, and good morning to your cherished listeners and viewers. I believe that indeed these are challenging times globally. I would want to put the discussion in context.
Right.
So it's not an isolated situation for Ghana. But our situation is becoming peculiar because of the recent happenings in terms of, for example, the downgrade of Ghana by international rating agencies. That has sort of cut us off from the international capital market, which was an avenue that we had in recent times become quite used to. Mm. And for that matter, was consistently, we were able to use it to manage, for instance, our currency due to inflows of some of those resources. Now it appears that because of that, that avenue is no longer there. And so it, and in terms of the recent depreciation of the currency as well, we know it is also cyclical, that around this time, as multilaterals close their books in December and January, they repatriate profits in foreign currency. So there's always the demand for foreign currency around this time. The challenge at this point really is the fact that because of the happenings and the seemingly difficulty that government is facing in terms of generating revenue, it is also feeding into consistently people not having too much confidence in the Ghanaian economy. So on the currency side, you see that there's a lot of speculation that is happening because people would want to make money off the movement on the forex market. On the back of that is the Ukraine war that is also leading to increasing crude prices. So indeed, it's a blend of things. So if you are a manager of the economy at this point in time, it's a difficult situation. But for me, I would say that the challenge is tackled from two perspectives. So the monetary side, the Bank of Ghana ought to do its bit. And then on the fiscal side, the president, the cabinet, economic management committee will also do this. On the monetary side, I expect that the monetary policy committee ought to act fast and quick at the moment to try to sort of increase the policy rate to give a signal to the market. So for example, so that it will restore a bit of confidence because of the high inflation rates that we are also currently facing. Returns on investment are basically negative in terms of real returns. So people would also want to find alternative investment elsewhere, all putting pressure on the currency. So if we are able to stabilize the currency by, for example, increasing the policy rate so that interest rates pick up, it is an indication to the market that, okay, so all is not lost. There's some that we can still salvage. And when local domestic instruments also turn out to yield positive returns, then it means that people who are also looking for alternatives elsewhere will slow down on that bet, and that demand side would come down. That could also feed into the pricing of petroleum at the pumps, because we know that the rising cost of fuel is as a result of, one, the depreciation of the currency and the price on the international market. So if we are able to sort of reduce the rate of inflation depreciation in the currency, then we could stem that tide a bit. Mm. On the fiscal side, that is what government can do. I believe that there are a number of things. For example, there's been a talk of government should send a signal as to it tightening its belt. There is a little that those things can do, but at least it is a signal. It is an indication that government realizes that these are hard times, and for that matter, is sending the signal out there. Mm. In terms of the pricing of petroleum, when you look at the build-up, you see that there are a number of things that probably government can do to cushion the ordinary Ghanaian. So, for example, there's been the talk that there should be a revision or a removal of some of the levies. But when you look at them really, for example, sanitation and pollution levy, something 10p, price stabilization recovery levy is 14p, energy sector recovery levy is 20p. So when you look at these, it is something that government could consider to sort of cushion. But at the moment, the price of petrol at the pump is around 10 cedis. When you tally these, they don't even come up to one cedi. Mm. So at the you need to weigh the cost and benefit. Mm. In terms of how much it is going to cost government to reduce these, we have to look at it. Is it better for government to, for example, keep it going and also find other avenues of cushioning the poor in that regard? Mm. For example, what happens to our public transportation system, for instance? These are times that those are necessary, that you could use to cushion people, so that the emphasis is on providing social safety net for those at the very bottom. But at best, it is a global issue, and I think that we need to recognize that as well.
What is the value of the suggestions from various quarters, including from the IEA, in at least corporate governance? Prisla just said that there's something it will do. The IEA says, take urgent measures to reduce expenditure whose level and composition remain problematic. The measures should include the following: restructuring ministries and reduce the number from 30 to 20 ministries. Then reduce the number of ministers from 86 to 56, including the 16 regional ministers. Slash executive pay by 20%. Professor Jampo says 30%. Professor Stephen Adair says 25%. Mm-hmm. Then a number of things like that, like they say, low-hanging fruits. Mm-hmm. In corporate governance, and you have written on this, what will this do? Because people say this is just a drop in the ocean.
I mean, look, this is a political decision, right? It's a political decision. Whichever way you look at it, it's politics at play, and politics and economics are always bedfellows. Mm. They go together.
Yeah, but people are hungry.
Absolutely. That's why I say they go together, because the decision making at this stage is an executive decision. Mm. There's a politics of it. People put some people in power to run the affairs of the nation and all of that. And the economists will tell you that we are what, rational beings or something to that effect. And therefore, when there's an overflow, we sort of expand our taste somewhat. And when we are in hard times, we contract the things that we can do. And it applies at all levels. Samson, on the political front, I believe that we are dealing with a larger society, and the actions of the leadership will definitely have an impact on the way people see things and whether people understand things or not. Truth is, I don't know how much the salary bit will do and all of that, but there are a lot of perks involved. There are a lot of vehicles involved. There are a lot of free petrol involved. If you are on some WhatsApp groups and all of that, people will show you evidence of some coupons that they have just received from some friends who are in certain places, mm-hmm. for which reason they don't have to buy fuel and all of that. I think that confidence, I agree with her absolutely, that it is a global phenomenon occurring at this time, which is having an impact on us as well, in the face of COVID-19 that nobody saw coming. However,
but there's a position by the opposition and other experts, which the World Bank in Ghana confirms, that our situation was already getting bad before COVID.
Okay, so that was my second half, and thank you for doing this job for me. But the second part is that, however, that notwithstanding, there's a reason why we always do a comparative analysis, because that impact is not exclusive to us. We are not insular. There are people around us who are having that impact as well. So if we talk about currency depreciation, it's easy to put up some sort of a graph and see whether the impact is the same for everybody. When you talk about government expenditure, it's easy to look around and see how it is happening. When you look at incomes, it's easy to do all of that. So far, we've seen that the depreciation issues with respect to the Ghana cedi as compared to the major currencies in Africa is terrible. So it's difficult on that score to then make an argument and say that it is purely a matter of COVID-19 coming on board or some issues happening. Because we ourselves, without waiting for the World Bank to tell us, can see that when I see how other currencies are behaving, it's a bit shocking to hear that the Ghanaian cedi, for example, was maybe last but one, and all of a sudden, a week later, is the bottom.
The worst performing.
Is in the bottom. So everybody else then raises an eyebrow and begins to wonder what's happening to us. Why are we in a worse situation than other people? The issue about currency, the issue about people making some money off it, the issue about people making it happens everywhere. In Nigeria, in Zambia, in Tanzania, in Kenya. Everybody does those same things. What is the reason why its impact in Ghana is greater or worse than it's in the other places? So now to the psychology of it. If I see that government is living a certain lifestyle where the people who are leading us, for example, and therefore have access to state resources and largesse, if you like, are living in a certain manner that we don't have access to. People worry. We know that when you talk about taxing, these days we talk about taxing. Tax is an extremely important component of the existence of any nation, whether we like it or not.
That's right.
But some people have a problem with what they consider their capital being taxed and their profit being taxed. What I mean is that it gets to a situation where if activity is really thriving, and people are doing things for which reason X and Y is being taken off it. Some people don't have a problem because they stay. In a situation where the calculation is done such that you realize that what you even have at home, and it's a small proportion or percentage of the population that are in that formal tax bracket, who have to bear the brunt of these matters, there becomes some worry. So I agree, some measures must be taken. That's the reason for leadership, isn't it? Leadership is by showing that, hey, we are talking about IMF. There's a meeting going on today. We remember the president saying categorically that he's winning Ghana off the IMF. I think that there's a difficulty with the politics of it, whether to say, okay, now I give in. Given the fact that these circumstances have arisen, none of us saw COVID coming, etc. I think I'm going to the IMF. That sort of decision will have to be made. Again, these are the number of ministers I put in place. This is their total cost on the state. The way I can reduce that cost, etc., is by reducing their numbers and all of that. As you say, it may be nominal in terms of what we have as a total nation, but that signal is valueless. That signal tells something to the world. In all the analysis that we hear all the time, Samson, you were mentioning corporate governance. I'm a bit surprised that a lot of the time when we speak, we don't hear much analysis and emphasis with respect to the capital markets in Ghana. Look, I was told not too long ago, credibly, that until MTN got on there, and MTN didn't come there simply because it wanted to. I think that had to do with some 4G license and things like that, and as a condition, what and all of that. MTN trading sometimes, I'm told, within a season, a quarter, two quarters, etc., can account for about 60% of the total trading value over there. Imagine the size of the capital market without MTN only. Put MTN aside. Now look at the companies that are as big, almost as big, or probably bigger than MTN in Ghana, who do not have a desire to go there. Something. In all the economies of the world, the advanced ones, if you like, or the ones struggling to make it to a certain top, that is a very key component of the activities that they do, and the economy, how it affects people in their markets and their pockets, and etc. Why doesn't it develop here? Never mind the fact that, like they say, everywhere the British went, they set up capital markets as part of colonialism and growing of the economy, except for the places where there was a disease environment, in our case, malaria. So then they took out those commodities, etc., and all of that to their places, and it has continued. We've never been able to turn it around. But in some other places where they established those things, we can see the markets growing. We tried it from 1990, it hasn't happened. Do you know what the problem is largely? We talk about all these massive state-owned enterprises, etc., or government-owned bodies. which are not participating there, and you expect private entities in this country to willingly go and participate.
The state enterprises that have specialized in making losses.
But that's our
huge losses. You know they don't make profit.
You know why? It's very easy. It's not rocket science. In the world of corporate governance, if you want to see...
Their CEOs are some of the best paid. Some of them pay better than the president.
Let me tell you what the problem is. Let's keep the pay aside. When what happens in the fix and the correction, etc., they've done it in Brazil and all of that, is that when... Why do you think that MTN, etc., and all that come to the markets and they are still fantastic and they do well? Why do you think there isn't that attraction? Why do you think that where government can buy some shares or some ownership in some of these listed companies, it does that and it still gets benefit? Why? It's because the government entities that we have like the 100% control.
Mm.
So the shareholder is government. The government then decide who is the director and who are the directors and who does everything else. When you come onto the market and you have to play by those rules of spread, that you must have at least a certain number of people participating, etc., I will take you away, and even now I think it's 25% or so, which means that you can still hold 75%. There are key issues that we must solve as a country. These are some of the matters. We can decide that these state enterprises are coming onto the market. They are large. They are big. Because government is going to hold, say, 49%. Or 47%, we must dare. Sometimes you must make the things work to your benefit. Mm. And that Ghanaians or whoever, you can cut out the foreign thing, are going to hold this portion. Something, it will bring a check on how directors are chosen.
Mm-hmm.
It will bring a check on how long they stay there. It will bring a check on who pays, who gets how much. It's not government who then determines anymore. And all that. Immediately those things are done. And in the West, when we cite these things with happiness, those principles happen because the public space, as far as the markets are concerned, control these principles, for which reason private entities also then get affected.
Mm.
Unless and until government is willing to make that aspect of our economy thrive by going through these principles. Whenever these problems happen or whenever we have issues about how large our pie is, the pie is always missing that aspect of things. And until we enlarge it, we cannot share a good chunk.
Mildred, how are you affected by the circumstances we find ourselves in? And for you, what should be the immediate measures? Hello, Mildred. You need to unmute.
Yeah. Is it okay now?
Great.
Yes. Good morning and... good morning to your cherished viewers and listeners. And I've listened to the other two guests, and you know, all the solution they are giving is very fantastic. But in fact, the ordinary Ghanaian cannot wait for all these things to take place and the impact to happen. But in the short term, I think as a businesswoman, for the average Ghanaian and everything, the government should really look at these three key points.
Mm-hmm.
These are every individual depend on food, shelter, and education. That's the basic thing every in this regime, everybody rely on. And when it comes to these factors, the government, in connection with the Ministry of Trade, should check the industries that provide services for these, like the industries that provide food, the industries that provide shelter in terms of building and all those things. Once they do something to help the industries to not to inflict anyhow, in the very short term, I mean, the ordinary Ghanaian will be cushioned in a bit. Whilst we wait for all our economists and everybody to do the ones that will take effect in the long term.
Mm.
Tell us
about the business you are involved in and what is happening now. That didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. Typically, we are involved in building materials and everything. And you bear witness that for these past few weeks, we've been seeing hikes in the price and everything. It's very worrying because everybody will sleep at the end of the day and it's in a building. So it affects the building materials.
Mm.
Now, when you look at the cost of building materials and the rate at which it's just rising.
Mm. Give us examples.
Examples are cement and iron rods and blocks. These are like basic ones.
What has happened to the price of cement?
The price of cement just went out last week, and iron rods in 2 weeks, it has gone up almost like three times. So I think what the government...
Cement has gone up from what to what?
We used to sell cement between 48 to 50 cedis per bag. Now it's hovering between 51 and 55, depending on the area.
When did you start selling cement for 40, 48, and 50?
Come again?
When did the price of cement go as high as 40, 48, and 50?
Yes, the last increment that pushed us to around 48 was in December. I mean, that was the last time it was pushed to 48. That was the last time it was increased. Now, because of obvious reasons, that the currency depreciation, the cost in the fuel prices, we are expecting increases. And I know the government is always in negotiation with the cement companies. So even before they come up, they are aware and everything. But the other ones, for instance, iron rods. I mean, is the government in constant negotiation with them? Because just in 2 weeks, we've seen persistent increase in it. And I don't know, most of them are produced locally. So the government needs to look there and let us understand some of the factors that influence their increase. Because are they...
Okay. We have a problem with her line, but you hold on there and let me go to John Ewa. John Ewa is Chief Executive Officer at the Ghana Association of Banks. John, thank you very much for joining us. And you would have heard the suggestions that have come up, including what the central bank should be doing. Dr. Prisla has just been speaking about some of those things, including increase in the policy rates. And she says that will restore confidence. The IEA issued a statement and is saying almost the same thing about what has to be done. It says the Bank of Ghana should increase the policy rate by 200 basis points from 14.5% to 16.5% to stem inflation, while also increasing the attractiveness of the cedi-denominated assets to stem disinvestment from the money and capital markets. Now, Nia De Clark paid attention to the money and capital markets and the negative effects on the cedi. Increase the primary reserve requirement from 8% to 10% to help curb liquidity creation by banks, which could fuel both inflation and exchange rate depreciation, change the current foreign currency CD primary reserve requirement to foreign currency requirement to help boost foreign currency reserves at the Bank of Ghana, and this will also meet a long-standing demand by the banks. Mildred, perhaps, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I can't appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for having me. First and foremost, I do not necessarily agree with the IEA on the point about using particularly the cash reserve ratio to reduce the liquidity in the environment, in the economy. Because in their view, there's excess liquidity that is fueling inflation. One thing that we have to be very careful about is in our attempt to solve our one problem, we do not create a series of problems. We all agree that lending to the productive sectors of the economy is not a level that we all need or we all expect. And therefore, to increase the cash reserve requirement will be limiting the ability for banks to mobilize the required liquidity to be able to lend. So the regulator, in their own wisdom, in order to propel lending to the economy, brought down the cash reserve requirement from the 10% as it was before to 8%. And we have every confidence that that should be maintained, at least in the interim, because we still need to inject liquidity into businesses, households, and in other ventures as well. But on the case of using the monetary policy to arrest the seeming rising inflation, of course, that is one of the key objectives of the policy rate, to manage inflationary pressures or otherwise. So, you know, Bank of Ghana, again, it was supposed to be meeting latter part of this month, but decided to bring forward the MPC meetings. And we have every reason to believe that it's an attempt for them to bring forward, that the decision to bring forward the MPC meeting is an attempt to come out with a statement earlier than we would have anticipated. So I would not be surprised at all if the policy rate goes up. I'm not sure about 200 basis points, but we anticipate that definitely, Bank of Ghana is going to have to increase the policy rate by up to about 100 or 150 basis points when the report is released.
What do you make of suggestions about slashing executive pay, about introducing government parent cost sharing arrangement for the free senior high school policy, abolishing the purchase of past examination questions for students, scrapping NAPCO, freezing allowances for nurses and teacher trainees? President Mahama did this. They didn't get any support for it. This government committed itself to it in political campaign. It must keep to that promise. Now we are saying they should freeze allowances for nursing and teacher trainees and then impose a temporary freeze on recruitment into the public service. People don't want to hear things like this. What do you say?
In fact, these are all the things that we want to hear. Unfortunately, those are the things that we want to hear. When you are in crisis, the tone that you set is critical. When people talk about how much are you going to save if public officers and government functionaries are stopped from traveling, how much money are we going to save? It is not the quantum of money, but it's the tone that is set, which is more important. If you set the right tone, then if tomorrow Guta or UTAG or any of these trade unions is making demands, make reference to the sacrifices that the managers of the economy, knowing the problems that we are sitting on, have taken themselves. So if you look at the quantum of savings, you will not take any action, because there is no one single handle of cost element that is going to give you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of savings. It is little savings here, little savings there, all together that will come to the level of savings or cost cutting that we are looking at. Let me tell you something. When the minister announced that they were going to cut the budget expenditure by 20%, there was an instant response on the international market. Instant. On that day, the Ghana's bond traded favorably, which means that the global business community is watching us. Unfortunately, when that statement came, we did not do a follow-on statement. What the business was expecting was, okay, you said 20%. What are the cost items that are going to be cut? In my view, as a finance professional, you cannot say a blanket 25% across the board for all discretionary spend. It is going to have to be a certain cost line being 100% cut off, at best maybe 10%, in other cost elements 50%, at best 15%, 2% here, and in all together perhaps will give you the average of 20% the minister talked about. We need to bring confidence and policy credibility to the table. That is what the international market is watching. Why we are getting punished is that we have kept too quiet for too long. When you are in crisis, you have to be seen to be doing something, and that which you are doing should be visible. People must know what is happening. And that is why personally, I have said, and when I said it, it became, you know, I got all kinds of feedback from, you know, in Ghana, everything is politicized. I said, why is the government paying my school? I've not asked for it. Why is free SHS free for me? Why is it free for people like me and a lot more people who have not asked for it? We always hide behind the absence of data, and every social intervention, we do blanket application to both the rich and the poor. So the rich get subsidized. People put their children to primary schools and pay thousands and thousands of school fees, and then when they get to secondary school, they get it for free. I just can't bring myself to understand this. There is a way of finding out brilliant, not even just brilliant, the needy students or the needy parents who works in the secondary schools may need some support. And Sam said, one other thing, there is no country, I've done my checks, no country under this sun that gives free boarding education. Free boarding. America doesn't do that. UK doesn't do that. Australia doesn't do that. Germany doesn't do that. These are the countries we visit to take money to subsidize our education. And then we give free boarding education, free breakfast, free lunch, free supper, free uniforms, free shoes, free books, free tuition, electricity, water from a poor country. I'm not sure that is how you solve a problem when you are sitting on a huge fiscal gap, and all we are doing is taking actions that further broadens the fiscal deficit. Let me and also highlight a little thing that happened. We talked about the effect of some of the savings that people have recommended, the cost-cutting measures that people have recommended. I 100% support most of the initiatives that come on the table. I picked a phone and called a few friends over the last 2-3 weeks, people who work in the public sector. You call this man, I'm in Dubai, I'm at Dubai Expo. You call that, I'm in Dubai Expo. Our public disposition does not reflect our circumstance. It is more or less, we are doing the things that we want to do when we are, you know, in good times, not recognizing the fact that, you know, the country is in serious crisis. As banks, we have serious challenges. When the economy suffers, the overall burden is borne by the bank because we cushion or we fuel the economy with liquidity. And when businesses are struggling and unable to pay, the distress is transferred onto the banks, and the banks will now bear the brunt. As we speak, even from the public sector pay at the controller level, in terms of payment from the controller, we are about 2-3 months in arrears. What that happens is, potentially, we are going to have to be reporting to the Credit Reference Bureau people who do not know that they are even defaulting loans. These are the realities on the ground, and we must be seen to be tackling them head on. Let's take politics out.
All right, I'll take a break here. I'll take a break here, and when I return, Priscilla, there's a question from Richmond Kwame from Pong. He says, if the Bank of Ghana increases policy rate, it will also hike cost of credit and crowd out the private sector. How do you sync that with the recommendations of increasing policy rate to stabilize the city? And Richmond, who has been helping people individually about financial wellness, says that as individuals, this is what you should do. Let me name the things he wants you to do. It says, become your own CFO. That's chief finance officer. Don't live a champagne life on a palm wine income. Live on less than you make. Don't act rich. Become rich. Moonlight to create extra income. Spend on assets and not on liabilities. Don't shop when you are hungry. Combine your errands into fewer trips and carpool when possible. You know, the fuel prices are just doing a hazard. And just how many weeks ago, the transportation fares were increased, it is expected that they will go up further, maybe just in the coming week. We'll be right back.
Decades, we have helped businesses connect with their trade partners all over the globe. From Ghana to Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Benin, Togo, Senegal, China, Morocco, France, Netherlands, and many other countries. We have made it possible to bring Ghana to the world. We have brought small and medium businesses closer to their customers across the regions in Ghana with our SME support facilities. We have brought relief and smiles to the faces of families with our employee personal loans. With our cutting-edge technology and digital support, we take the burden of complex thinking off you, making life simple. That is who we are, as close as a partner. Bank of Africa. We are indeed the African bank with the global reach.
Started trial today. If you're not excited after one term, we will refund 100% money back.
You thought of where to get your dream home? Waylead is offering you a better option. Check out our exclusive all-detached house gated community. Sizes ranges from cozy 3 bedrooms to a luxurious 5 bedrooms. We at Waylead are committed to providing you with the best building quality and value for money. In fact, we are the proud recipient of 2019's Quality Property Firm Award. Just like our homes, our payment terms focus on your need. Choose from installments up to 24 months without interest, or take advantage of mortgage up to 20 years. At Waylead, we build homes for you. Call us now on 0240-11-1119 or 050-4499-999 to secure your dream home now. Waylead.
Taxes. You put yourself at risk of prosecution. Do the right thing. Pay your duties and taxes online, through the bank, or from your phone on time. And let's build a great nation.
Thank you very much. This is Newsfile, Lesotho's authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, we put Ghana first. It's brought to you by Bank of Africa, strong as a group and close as a partner, MTN everywhere you go, Ashanti University, educating ethical and entrepreneurial leaders for Africa, Robert and Sons. Optical Services, your comprehensive eye care services provider for 31 years. Waylead Properties, home is where one starts. CBG, we stand with you. Edlom Housing, where spacious homes cost less. Duroplus, where Duroplus goes, water flows. And Rehoboth Properties, quality housing for all. Thank you for staying with us. I'll share a few of your messages, and then we will have your questions answered. Of course, the first question, I have already put it to Chrysler. Now, okay, I find that most of the messages are about the first segment, but why not? Let's go. This one from Abeli. It says that to learn consensus building is a must. However, the structure to encourage that consensus building is not there. That is in Parliament. In the US, it is called the cooling system. I repeat, unicameral parliamentary system is adversarial and does not promote unity and balance. Musa Abatoa says, the lawyer's point of view, it's very difficult for the Supreme Court to rescind their decision unless there is fresh evidence which the seven judges have not averted their mind to. Can future set of panel of judges overturn or set aside the questionable judgments? Well, it is 30 days. After 30 days, if you don't go to do it, it's gone. So if you are talking about future and linking it to politics, then I don't know. Bobby Banks, this one is from Ajay Bequeen. It says, Bobby Banson, wow, young intellects who appear on Newsfile continue to thrill me with their fantastic analysis of issues, and they do so not only with book knowledge, but with wisdom. Kwesi Kisiedu says, Newsfile, able to engineer a good argument to be reviewed by the Supreme Court on their earlier verdict will be a difficult task. Nyavo John says, the courts missed the constitutional history of deputy speakers and have inserted an article in the Constitution that the framers have expressly rejected. Are you sure about that? Cost of living in Ghana. Kudodo Savior says, always on a borrowing spree. The state regulator borrowing much, likewise the citizens. Sir Stees says, it's really a pakpakpa movement living in Ghana. Donald Nee says, I take it one day at a time. I try as much as possible not to worry about tomorrow because it's gonna damage my already exhausted morale. And Gasma One says, I'm reducing the number of times I travel to see my family. I'm checking my cravings. I want the government to do same as well. Be efficient in applying our resources. Stop the wastage and pilfering and block all the loopholes. Masaudu Jr. says, in fact, cost of living in Ghana is very unbearable, but the people in power talk as if they are living in a different Ghana we don't know about. Thank you for those messages. Now, Dr. Priscilla Chumisiba, for the question that came to you was, if you increase the policy rate, you say that among others will restore confidence. But Richmond Kwame from Paul's question is that will also lead to
crowding out
and, you know, make credit unavailable. What do you say to that?
Yes, I agree. So it's a choice we have to make. We are faced with a challenge. But first of all, if we do not stabilize the environment, it means that the investment, first of all, will not thrive. So yes, an increase in the policy rate will increase the lending rate will inch it up. But that said, it is supposed to curtail the inflationary pressures that is happening, because investment will not thrive if inflation is on the ascendancy. So it's more like choosing the lesser of two evils. But at the end of the day, when we are able to stabilize and go inflation, control the rate of inflation, then the rate could be dropped so that you do not unnecessarily crowd out the private sector. But that said, I mean, there is even the rigid transition. I mean, the policy rate really does not translate into the lending rate on the market. So okay. That is another discussion.
What's your take on cutting back on free SHS? The finance minister, if you remember, at the very start, this was something he tried to suggest, but he was stampeded by his own party people not to dare say anything that was contrary to the president's free SHS mantra.
Indeed, the president of the Bankers Association indicated, our problem in this country has been lack of targeting. Nobody is saying that free SHS is not a good policy. It is. We have examples all over. I know of a young lady, but for which free SHS, she wouldn't have gone to the secondary school. So for those people, that policy is great. But there are a lot of beneficiaries of the program that do not need it, and that is the issue that we have. What is the point in granting free SHS to children that go to top class private schools during the primary level, and all of a sudden those children are, for example, holding mobile phones that are more expensive than their school fees, and they are being given for free? So the issue is, can we sit back, target, and probably roll out a scholarship scheme for the needy students who rather would be the greater beneficiaries of the program rather than giving it out to everybody for free? But at this point, really, I believe that given that we are in hard times, it may not be a very prudent measure to take at the moment, because even the supposedly affluent families are also feeling the pinch of the hardship that is occurring. But I think that going forward, it is something that needs to be looked at. The problem for me has always been the politicization of these things, because as we talk about, the moment implementers of the program realize the challenge and try to modify it, another group is available to sing a song in victory to say that, yes, we said it.
Not too long ago, you were very concerned reading the statistics of unemployment as generated by the state itself. When you hear that some of the measures to take is to scrap NAPCO, is to stop recruitment into the public services, how do you take that?
Indeed, I have always had the opinion that expanding the public sector is not a way to solve a problem of unemployment. So for us, we have to look at our industrialization strategy. And it is the most effective way of generating jobs. We have to look at what is happening to our manufacturing sector, investment in the sector, encouraging young people to move into that sector, particularly along the agricultural value chain, adding value to the produce and all that that come out of our agricultural sector, so that we create layers of employment. And at the back of all that is happening with the depreciation of the cedi is our over-reliance on imports, because we are really importing everything into this country. I mean, yesterday I was surprised to find something on Facebook that somebody had bought imported intestines. And I was shocked to know that all these things are imported. So we exchange our hard-earned cedi for the dollar to go and import, everything. And that is the problem. If we are able to take
maybe we are importing, Willie. Because this is where we get to.
Certainly. Yeah. So indeed, if we are able to take our industrialization drive seriously, create agro-processing firms, that means that we'll be solving the problem of the constant pressure on the cedi.
And this is long-term.
medium to long term,
okay.
Really, medium to long term, because these agro-processing firms, they are not big giant firms that require lots of investment to set up. When you look at some of the firms under the One District, One Factory initiative, I think that those are examples that we could use to generate the jobs, ease the pressure on the currency, and also, I mean, move forward as a country as we structure.
May we hear the city will get worse and circumstances will not normalize anytime soon, irrespective of whatever the measures it is that we are talking about. The president and his men and women are meeting now and deciding what to do. If you had to tell them two things they should focus on immediately in the long term, what will it be, aside what you have said already?
It reminds me of a video somebody sent me this morning where my good friend and senior Ace Ankuma says, I'm working like a bull and I'm paying my taxes.
Exactly, the government
and
got
the
to
government
work
also has to work like a bull. It's not my duty to tell the government how to fix the economy. He didn't even know how to fix it. I'm still quoting this. He didn't know how to fix it. Then why did he run for office? End of quote. You know, it sounded a bit funny to me watching it this very morning when I said I was coming here to a friend and all of that. But in a certain sense, those words are so true. It's a bit, you know, in many ways, yes, I like it that the government is taking this initiative. But I thought to myself that if it's a cabinet meeting, I was a bit surprised that it was thrown out to us as, you know, cabinet is going to meet today to talk about the economy. I mean, I think that is what government is there to do. What I mean by that is, seriously, the cabinet does not ordinarily just announce that I'm going to meet today and talk about the economy. That's the point I'm making. That cabinet meets on the regular. And the president deciding to go to Pejuasi with his cabinet ministers, you know, and all of that, and then to have tweets come out saying that now it's a contest between should we go to IMF or should we pursue e-levy, or is it one of the two or neither of the two kind of thing. I was a bit surprised. I thought that this is the business of government, you know, to be doing it all the time. What can
this,
I say?
This is a special one. Yes.
Well, yeah, it's a special one. I'm saying that if it's a special one, then it's almost a bit late, somewhat. I mean, because this thing has been staring us in the face, and you said that the World Bank, for example, I said that we're already on the on the down slope and all of that. And
yes.
All. I've said on this program in the past, at the beginning of Free SHS, you remember, some time ago, maybe 2 years or so, I haven't been on the show for a while, where I used my own father as an example. I said that growing up in Bokobi, there was no way he would have ended up in a Adisada College as he did if he did not have some free money to take to school. And he had actually said that himself. But on the same score, that man paid every single peso of my education throughout my 7 years of education at Achimota School for a reason. He did not come to believe that merely because Nkrumah's government had done it for him that it should be the regular way of doing things. That is the targeting point. We talk about a means test. It's easy to determine it. Though you're mentioning somebody who went to Harvard earlier on and all of that, they will tell you. I know people who gain admission to Harvard who don't go because some other institution gave them all the money. Harvard will hardly do that, no matter how poor you are. Because you call it skin in the game. You have to have some skin in the game. I'm still paying my fees. I've been some parts that I was paid for my program at Harvard, my master's degree. That is the way it works.
Chief, you finished Harvard how many years ago?
I'm paying me for 15 years.
Okay.
Because
your last point.
Something.
Your last
because
point.
You are doing some work. You are doing something, you're generating something. This is here. Free SHS could be targeting the wholesale. This is Ken Ofori-Atta in 2018. Finance Minister Ken Ofori-Atta appears to be in agreement with the suggestion that the free senior high school program may have to be targeted at persons with genuine need and not made to benefit everyone. Using himself as an example, the minister says someone in his economic bracket should not be enjoying such a policy. I made that point before this article came out. And I agree absolutely and wholly. I personally do not want to pay the government to pay my children's school fees for me. I think that if the government has helped me go to some school, public school, done this and all of that, something you shouldn't benefit from free SHS with all the dough you are making on a daily basis in the courts. You have to make some effort. You see what I mean? I don't say that we shouldn't have free education for people. There are people who need it. We must do it for them.
Right.
And that heavy burden is also one of the reasons. The only place where I probably slightly differ with Priscilla is that she says that it's difficult at this time. I think that the next cohort So I'm not exactly different. The next cohort going forward, government should consider that people who are able to pay should contribute and lessen the burden of government, because things won't change anytime.
Right. Mildred, what will be your final words to government and its team as they listen to you? And also, as an individual, what are you doing to survive?
Yes, something like I rightly said, all these things, government needs to look at these three key points, then make it easy for everybody. Because once they engage these industries that produce these things, because most of these industries even have tax holidays, they have tax exemptions. So it is this time that they also need to contribute to help government so that they don't unnecessarily increase things anyhow. They really need to be guided by government so that they don't take advantage of the increasing dollar, the depreciating dollar, and the increasing in fuel to just increase their prices anyhow. Because we've seen it. Look, just like I was saying, in these past 2 weeks, iron rods have moved from 4,600 to 6,200, almost 40%. So, and these are things that are being produced in Ghana. Yes, the city depreciation will affect it and all that. But government really needs to look into those things and see that these industries too are not taking advantage of the situation.
Mm.
They also need to help.
Mm.
It's a global thing, like Rachel
right.
said.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, once they look at these key things in terms of food, shelter, and education, they are already doing something about it in terms
right.
of the three SDGs.
Yeah.
But these two other things, they need to look at it.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that in the short term will help cushion the ordinary Ghanaian.
Yes.
Yeah.
John, in a minute, what will you tell us? What are you doing by yourself to survive the circumstance?
In my view, the president and his ministers in their meeting should consider, as the country, we need to, for the first time, look a bit long term. Not too long ago, we had a similar seminar at a hotel somewhere talking about homegrown policies. And what became of that? All of a sudden, we are back to square one, and we are having to have the same discussion again, because as a country, we are always sitting at one place and not looking at the long-term effect of some of the policy initiatives that we take. We have an export-led policy as a country. Meanwhile, we have discounted values of importations. How to compete with the small businesses that are manufacturing concerns that you set up in Ghana to be able to stop our dependence on importation. I don't know, it is counterintuitive to one bit want to increase exports and another bit saying you can bring importation from other countries and I'll discount the values so that it becomes cheaper. How does the company that is meant to export survive? And if this country is to move forward and we get to the point where we stop discussing these matters of foreign currency CD depreciation and unemployment, it is building our light to heavy industries in this country. That is where jobs are created. We have, as an economy, a jaundiced GDP structure. A country of our standing currently as Ghana, service sector contributes more than the industry.
Okay.
It should not be the case. So I want the president to take a long-term view. Mm. It may not be during his time, but if he sets the foundation
right.
for others to build on, then that should be it. But
okay.
we should, for the first time, have a long-term view of some of the initiatives that we undertake.
All right, thank you so very much, John Ewa. And as always, my outfit is by Habil's Couture. And Habil's Couture, you can find them at Adringano Gate, East Legon, and the contact 0200-84-1988. Thank you all so very much for tuning in and staying here with us for all this time. On the occasion of International Women's Day, we thank Welma Africa for helping us celebrate some of our amazing women who have been doing a good job to support as discuss matters and shape the national opinion. Prisla, Dr. Prisla Chumesi Bafo, this is from Wilma, Africa, saying the thank you so much for making yourself available always to help national issues. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so on that note, have a good afternoon. I'm Samson Ladi Anyanini.
Everywhere you go.
Bank of Africa, as strong as a group.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.